Oh, Father, we just love you, Lord. We just love what you're doing in us and bringing us along on this journey, Lord. This great journey that you've got up for us, ahead of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for squeezing out the world and the flesh out of us. And thank you for your salvation. That, man, that it just incorporates everything that we need, Lord. And I just praise you for that. I ask, Lord, that you guide and direct us tonight, that you lead each one of us to say the things that you once said, and Father, that it's going to bless everybody involved. And I thank you for that, Father. I just can't wait, Father, for this revival to start. I know it's going to be awesome. I know that people are going to be just dropping down and repenting on sidewalks and in fields and in highways and in cars or wherever, Lord. When you drop down and all hell breaks loose, and at the same time your revival spirit hits us, Lord, it's going to be awesome. And Father, I thank you that we're going to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you for being with us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Let me find my... I should have had it already up here. I'm looking for my notebook. Aha! Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests?
Yes.
Anybody they'd like to pray for? Yeah, go ahead, Wade.
My neighbor fell in his apartment today. And it seems to me that he's injured his back. He's in extreme pain, but he wasn't able to get up off the floor while he was in his apartment. So they're doing x-rays and all that. I'm praying that he won't need all the hospitalization and all, that he'll come home healed. His sister says he's in extreme pain, and the doctors are going to do a CAT scan on him. I hope he's, you know, well, the Lord, don't matter what the problem is, God can fix it. So, I'm just praying for him. He was a close friend of mine. He was my direct next door neighbor a while back, and now he's in the same complex but just further away. His name is James Davis, and I appreciate any prayers for him. I appreciate what God's going to do. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, James Davis. All right. Well, Father, is he saved, Wade? Is he a born-again believer?
There's a problem with that. He agrees with me scripturally, but he won't read the Bible. I gave him a Bible, and he wanted, you know, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. But he this is not the first. I've given him Bibles before, and he's kept them, but he's lost them. For some reason, he had a bad experience reading the Bible before, something he did or something, I don't know. But he said he didn't want to read the Bible. But I keep telling him he can't grow that way. He reads the little articles I bring him, so sometimes I'll bring him a chapter of the Bible, and he doesn't even know, you know, he reads that, and that's about the only way I can get spiritual meat to him. For some reason, he does not want to read the Bible. But we bring him stuff printed out on my computer.
Okay, yeah, give him Sovereign God.
Well, I could try. Right now, my wife is reading it, so we only have one.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you can get it online. He can read it online if he'd like to. But anyway, yeah, let's go ahead and pray for him.
Okay.
All right, Father, we lift up James Davis to you, Father, and I come against that demon. That's what it is. It's hindering his wanting to read that Bible. I command you to leave him alone in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you that that you place it in him to want to read the Word, Lord, and to put a hunger in him for the Word of God. Lord, you can do that. And we come against any of those spirits that have kept him away from the Lord in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you are drawing him to... Lord, we just ask that you grant repentance to James Davis. That you grant repentance to him, Father, and place it and pull him towards you, Lord. so that he would be yours, Lord, solidly, and that you'd put that hunger for the Word of God in him and deliver him of all of those things that he's collected over the years. In Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask that in the name of Jesus, and we come against that pain in his back and command it to go from him right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to heal him, deliver him, and set him free all at once. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You know what brings health and happiness and deliverance most of all? Is love of God. And when you love God, what does that mean? That means obedience to God. That's what loving God is, obedience to God. And when you are in obedience to God, you won't have the problems that you used to have, because God accounts you as righteous when you're doing everything you know to do. He accounts you as righteous, and a righteous man's prayers availeth much with the Lord. And that's the one thing that we all ought to be striving for, is to please God, to love God by obeying his commandments, doing what he said to do. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Hey, Judy.
Yeah?
Do you want to pray for Heather?
I'm saying what? I'm sorry.
Do you want to pray for Heather? Do you want to pray for Heather over in Athens? Come in, Judy. Judy, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, did you tell him who Heather is in Athens?
I said, do you want to pray for
Bible?
Heather? Yeah, I'm talking. Can you hear? Anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now I'm with you. I had my headphones plugged in. I thought, why can't I hear him? Okay, I'm with you now.
Okay, good. I said, do you want to pray for Heather?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll be with you, okay? Heather,
okay.
By the way, people, is the lady that was on here the other night. She's only been on here one time. You want to explain a little bit, Judy, what's going on?
Yeah, well, she got on the internet and she found David's site, and she started reading some stuff and really got excited about it. And somehow she got a hold of Lois, and Lois was going to send her some tapes and stuff. But then she said, well, if you live in Athens, why don't we just come over and see you? So she got me and Marlene, and we went over to see her and had lunch with her. Oh, she's a sweet lady, but she has this real problem with once saved, always saved. She can't get over that. And she's reading the books, and she likes the books, and she likes, you know, all the scripture and everything, but this is just a big hang-up with her. And she was going to come to our pot blessing Saturday, but now she's not sure whether she wants to come, probably won't come. But, I mean, we can still, you know, keep corresponding with her and talk to her and stuff. And, you know, she's got about 4 or 5 books to read, so maybe one of those books will just be the right book. That's what we're praying. So, dear Heavenly Father, I want to lift Heather up to you. She needs some more understanding on once saved, always saved, and I know that as she reads and asks you the truth, that you will give it to her, and because the truth will make you free. So, Lord, we know that she's really wanting to know the truth, and she believes in a lot of the other things that we believe in, but she just has a real big hang-up on this. So, Lord, help her with this. Show her the truth and guide and protect her life, and with her and her husband, be with them. They've only been in Tennessee maybe a couple weeks now, so keep them safe, Lord, and just show them understanding and have her come to a meeting and let her really get inspired with what we're saying. And I know that you're going to take care of this situation, Lord, because we're putting it in your hands. So thank you, Lord, so much for being with Heather and her husband. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing this work for Heather. Let this be a quick miracle for her. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Nora. I would like to request prayer for my health, please. I have a problem in my lower abdomen. I have all the symptoms of a tumor. So I would like you to pray for me, please.
Okay. All right. Well, that ain't nothing for Jesus, is it?
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that tumor that's trying to come on Nora, and we command you to dissolve now in Jesus' name. We command complete annihilation of any kind of tumors in her anywhere in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that Nora is completely healed in Jesus' name with no after effects of any kind in Jesus' name. Everything in her body be healed right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that from this point on, Nora's going to confess the good confession that she's healed and she don't have to worry about it anymore. And Lord, we thank you for this quick recovery, because it was done 2,000 years ago at the cross. And Father, we praise you and glorify you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord, that tumor is gone in Jesus' name. Oh, praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You believe that, Nora?
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, me too. I believe it.
I would just like to say also that Wednesday morning's talk that you had on faith and fear was a great blessing. And I really, really, the Lord blessed me and really jacked up my faith with the whole talk. Actually, the whole conference call, I listened to the recording again, and it was really awesome. Thank you very much.
Yes, it was. It was awesome. I told everybody at the local, I said, you need to listen to that because it upped my faith. it shot my faith way up there. Praise God.
Yes, it was. Thanks.
Lord. All right. Anybody else?
I just wanted to say we just curse that tumor at its root. We just command it to dissolve in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else?
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Tuesday, God worked a couple of miracles for me, and they're continuing today, I hope. I'm going to check my blood sugar later tonight. But my friend who lives in the village here, her dog had a tumor on its belly, a large tumor, and she asked me to pray for it. And the next day, which was Tuesday, I called her, and she told me that the tumor was gone completely. And the other thing that she asked for, she got also. She got a ride, which is hard to do when you don't have a car or don't know too many people with cars. So I thank God for that, and she was rejoicing. She was very happy. Also, when I got up Tuesday, I had a very busy day, busier than most days. And I forgot to take my blood sugar or to take my shots. By around 6 o'clock, which is many hours, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I realized that I didn't take my shot. And I checked my blood sugar, and it was low. It was as if I had been taking my medicine, and I was lower than normal. Even if I had been taking my medicine, it would be lower than what was normal. And I hadn't taken any insulin. And so I want to thank God for that. The next day, I said, well, I'll do it again. I got up kind of late, or I started late, and I took my blood sugar, and it was low. So I said, I'll just see if it'll go through the day. And that night, it was no higher than normal. I took my insulin, but it was no higher than normal for me at night without having insulin twice in 2 days. So I wanted to thank God for that. And right now, I'm looking forward to see a miracle in my wife's side, that tumor we prayed for, or whatever it is, lump. I'm hoping it's just a lump, but whatever it is, I pray it's gone very short, soon. Because it's wounding my faith a little bit, because I care so much. I couldn't stand to lose her. But I know God is faithful, and if I keep my faith anchored in Christ and in His healing, His love to heal, you know, I know that He's going to heal her. And and she's praying too. And just wanted to thank God for what He's been doing. And I'm sure that this is going to turn out for our good and not for our evil.
Amen. Yeah. Yep. She was healed back 2,000 years ago at the cross.
Amen.
So we don't look forward for her healing. We just know that it's already done because it was done 2,000 years ago. And what we do now is rest in the knowledge that God has already taken care of it. And we don't worry about it anymore. We don't even talk about it. We say, well, no, she's healed in Jesus' name. That's what God wants out of each one of us. He wants faith in us to confess that faith with our mouth. And when we do that, woo, my goodness, Wade, miracles happen. We've seen it many, many times right here on the conference call. And we've seen it many, many times elsewhere too. So we thank you, Father, that Jeanette's already healed. We ain't got to worry about that no more because it's in your hands. And when we put it in your hands, Lord, we ain't got to worry about it because you are the healer. You're not a doctor. You're not a practitioner. You're a healer. And we know that you heal from now on. We don't have to worry about it because it's gone. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Oh,
thank
glory
you,
be to God. Okay.
You,
all right, anybody else? Anything else, Wade?
Just thanking God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, anybody else? Anybody got a testimony, a praise report, a prayer request, a revelation from God, a dream, a vision, a word of knowledge, anything like that?
Michael?
Yeah, Gano.
Well, you ask about dreams, and I did have a dream the other day. I don't know that I really understand everything about it yet, but I can share what I saw.
Okay.
And a little bit of what I thought. I was riding in the back seat of a car, and as I was going along, I realized my mother was driving. And we were going up a mountain road, and there were really pretty wild flowers along the way, and I had decided that I wanted to take a picture of them. And so I was looking for my camera. I wasn't watching where we were going, and all at once, we obviously started going down really quickly. And, you know, when you go over a hill kind of fast and it takes your breath away, well, that's kind of the feeling I had, just kind of took my breath away. But had I been looking, I probably wouldn't have been that surprised. But then I was going to take a picture out the side window, but things wouldn't come into focus. And so then I thought, well, I'll try out the windshield, but I was in the back seat, so that wasn't, you know, working real good. Plus, the windshield was dirty and it had bug spots on it, so didn't do that either. But when we got to the bottom, and this was really the more interesting part of the dream, there was a herd
full of you're breaking up. We can't hardly understand you now. Yeah, I couldn't understand you. You're breaking up really bad.
Okay, well, we're having some trouble, you know, with our computer and had a little trouble getting on, so I don't know what the deal
now.
Is.
It's good now.
Oh.
Don't move.
Well, don't move, okay. Well, anyway, part got over that we were down and in the valley, so to speak, and that's where I saw the very cows running through the grass.
Oh, it's really, you're really breaking up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, we can't understand you now. It's just breaking up way too bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I'd like to hear that.
That's okay.
Why don't you try to, maybe she should just try to hang up and come back in again, see if it'll work.
Maybe so. What do you say, Jackie?
Michael, God bless you.
You too. Yeah, I'd like to hear that dream. Mama driving. Going over a hill. Got down, couldn't focus the camera. Too many bugs and stuff on the window. So, yeah, that's about as far as well I could listen. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or revelation?
I was just thinking of when Wade was talking. I just before I got on the conference call, I was finishing up reading a little bit of Corinthians, and I was in Corinthians 12, and it says, and we've all heard this. He said. And Paul is saying, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He said, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in weakness, that the power of Christ may spread a tabernacle over me. And I'm just thinking, Wade, you're so good for the Lord for this. You're being so weak to him, to allow him to work his strength for you. That's just a good testimony. You're a good testimony.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's see. I got this morning, I got Proverbs. Wait a minute. Hang on. Proverbs 31:31. Proverbs 31:31. Yeah. I'm getting there. Well, this thing give me a fit. No, it's not in Jesus' name. Okay. We're getting somewhere. Okay. Proverbs 31 and 30. I'm going to start in 30 and go to 31. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Now, if you think about it, if you look at it spiritually speaking, that's the church, you know. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Michael, I'll try and give the scripture I got.
Okay. You sound good right now.
Oh, okay. Mine was from Acts 7:44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed, who spake to Moses, that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen. And I guess I'll read the next two verses also. Okay. Which also our fathers in their turn brought in with Joshua when they entered on the possession of the nations, that God thrust out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found grace in God's sight and asked to find a habitation for the God of Jacob. And that was when, you know, when he was wanting to build a temple for the Lord, and he said that, you know, he didn't need something made from man, because man was the temple.
Amen. So that means the temple that they wanting to build over there in Israel, that the apostate church or the denominations want to have built over there in Israel, is an abomination, right?
Yeah, I think so.
To the Lord, because the Lord's not going back in the building like that. We're the building that he's looking at. Boy, that's good. Amen. Ain't going to be no temple built over there that the Lord's going to be in. This is the temple he's wanting to build, and it's the temple that he's working on every day. It's not built with man's hands, he said. He's building it. He's building it in us. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Well, okay. Let's see, I got a little something here I'd like to share.
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was talking to my cousin today, and I was asking him if he was filled with the Holy Spirit and had tongues. And he said, no, I don't have tongues, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So my question is, can you be filled with the Holy Spirit and not have tongues? And can you have tongues and not be filled with the Holy Spirit? When you have one, you have both.
Well, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do have tongues. You can be filled for a while and not have received the tongues by faith. But you can not be talking in tongues and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're talking in tongues and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that could be from the other side.
Well, he said he didn't think he needed tongues because he thinks he's going to be raptured out of here. You know, I was saying, well, in the tribulation, it's a good thing to have tongues. And he said, well, we're going to be raptured out of here, so, you know, I just don't think it's that necessary. So I'm sure he never asked for it.
Yeah. Well, how does he know he's filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he sounds like a Baptist.
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask that.
Yeah. Because most of the mainline denominational churches, most of the apostate churches out there believe that they're filled with the Spirit on salvation. They don't think it's a separate experience. Like Paul talks about and Acts talks about. The whole book of Acts talks about it numerous times, you know. That it's a separate experience that God gives us. The reason that God gives us the Holy Spirit as a gift, and it's a gift, it's one of the main gifts that we ought to, it's the main gift that we ought to be seeking for if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us that overcoming power to overcome the sin in our life and to walk the walk that God wants us to. And not only that, tongues, by the way, tongues edifies yourself. Your personal language edifies yourself. It builds up your faith when you speak in tongues. When you're going into your prayer closet and you speak in tongues, or you speak in tongues, I speak in tongues almost continually, whether under my breath or in my mind or out loud. I try to do it out loud as much as possible, because it builds your faith up inside of you. It edifies you, is what the word said. It builds you up. Somebody asked John G. Lake one time what was the power of his ministry, and he said speaking in tongues all the time, strong and hard, like, is what he said. So, tongues is necessary. It's a gift that God has given us. He has commanded us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And anyone who doesn't believe that it's a separate experience is not reading the book of Acts. So,
yeah.
There's lots of studies on site about the Holy Spirit, you know. Rex Verone has one on there that's really an in-depth, kind of an in-depth study on being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Well, he has a couple books that he's been reading and seems to like all the information. And, you know, but, you know, he believes in the rapture before. And then he believed, you know, I didn't know. I just thought I'd ask him that, so.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, really, as far as a religious person, he's one of the most religious of, you know, what I knew back in Indiana.
Yeah, sure.
But just was wondering after he said that, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot for the answer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there again, they think, a lot of people think that salvation is just a one-time thing, you know, like David often talks about, you know, they've shook the preacher's hand, the preacher's patted them on the back, and they got baptized, and now they can kick back, they're in, they ain't got to do nothing else, their ticket's been punched.
Yeah, once saved, always saved.
Yeah, once saved, always saved. But then, of course, Paul talks about it a lot, and it's all through the New Testament. That it's a progressive walk. David has a book called Salvation, Instant and Progressive. Matter of fact, I'm going to be teaching a little bit out of that tonight. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
How old is he?
He's 65.
Oh, okay. So how long, has he been a Christian very long?
No, he's been a Christian for a long time.
Oh,
his whole family is.
Yeah.
You know. Well, his mother believed that, I found out, so I guess I wasn't surprised that he believed that after I asked him.
Yeah. Did you ever try to talk to him about the rapture or?
Oh yeah. Well, his mother I have, but I don't get anywhere there.
Yeah. Well, what I generally tell them, and you can tell real quick if they're going to listen or not, what I generally tell them is this, I say, look, when you figure it out and you're still here and a tribulation has started, you know, give me a call.
That's good.
Just tell them, give me a call, and I'll let you know something that I found out by reading the Word.
Oh, that's really good.
Quit listening to men, you know.
Yeah. Okay. That's going to be my answer now.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I know. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I know. When I... Go ahead,
yeah,
Mark.
Go ahead, David.
Duel of mics here. I was just going to say, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I noticed an ability to overcome a lot of sin. And so I think even though people have been told they've been given the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they might find they still had the problem with sin in all their most of their life and felt guilt and, you know, why can't I overcome? And then they feel good. It's like an up and down roller coaster all the time. Where when you get that baptism, things just kind of plane out a little bit. You know, you're not rocked as much. You just seem to be overcoming a lot more. And not that I'm saying you're completely arrived, but you don't have that problem with sin that you used to have. You know, if you have any issues, it's just now it's just some baggage that you're going to be kicking off as you go along in your walk. So that's the biggest difference I can see for people that say they have it and ones that know they have it. They know that the evidence is in their life.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. What about it? Marlon, go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy the other day, and we were talking about speaking in tongues and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then I asked him, I said, well, do you have that baptism of the Holy Spirit? And he said, well, I speak in tongues, but I never did you know, do a separate baptism, it's possible to get the baptism without really going through a baptism, isn't it? I mean, can it just come on you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People that we've prayed for before during baptism, you know, water baptism, come up speaking in tongues because we've prayed for it. We've asked for it. Some have asked and some haven't. So I don't know if people have prayed for it, but I guess that's right. I guess you can. Now that I think about it. What do you think, Marlon?
Well, I guess I was always the opinion that that could be because you hear about people that are just driving along and the Holy Spirit comes on them and, you know, so I wouldn't know why you couldn't receive the speaking in tongues the same way.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get the tongues before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you'd have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to get the tongues. So, yeah, they might not know that they are, but if they're speaking in tongues, that should be a sign, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think what he meant is, you know, that he never really had somebody, you know, go through praying for him and expecting to receive it right then. I think that's what he meant to say.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, when I received the Holy Spirit, I was in my shop just praising God. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I was saturated. And I started speaking in tongues, and I knew what it was because I'd been seeking it for quite some time. But I was just praising the Lord one day out in the shop, one morning. And the Lord came upon me and baptized me, and I sat out there and spake in tongues for, gosh, I don't know how long, 3 or 4 hours. So I guess it could. But I knew I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was no question in my mind. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Doesn't the Bible say that the speaking in tongue is the evidence?
Well, not really. It doesn't come down and say that. What it does say is that when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues, and some of them began to prophesy. You know, that's what it says. So the gifts of the Spirit are manifested when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not that it, you know, that's, we've heard that over the years, but the Bible doesn't really say that. It just gives examples of people being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidences, not with the evidence, but and began to speak in tongues and began to prophesy. And so that's the gift of the Spirit.
I guess the way that I heard it was is that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then, I mean, you're going to speak in tongues. At least I've always heard that the speaking in tongues was the evidence that, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Well, that's a good evidence. That's absolutely right. And you know, there's two types of speaking in tongues. While we're on the subject, there's the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of interpreting tongues, and both of them together is a prophecy. But our prayer language that we receive upon baptism of the Holy Spirit is our personal language that God gives us to pray to Him perfectly. By that I mean when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, it's prayers from God to Him that are going to get answered because they're the perfect prayer. Our mind, we don't understand what we're praying, and God does that for a reason. David explains it in one of the studies that he does it for a reason, and that reason is so our mind doesn't get in there and mess up the prayer. Because, you know, sometimes we want to kind of direct that prayer to us and be a personal prayer rather than if we're praying for somebody else. Y'all, some of y'all have awakened at night sometimes, and the Lord just has you praying in tongues, and you have no idea who you're praying for. And then you hear later that it was somebody that you knew that was had been in trouble, or that you wake up and somebody comes up into your mind and you know to get up and pray for them at that time, and they've been in trouble. And you pray for them in the spirit because you don't understand what the calamity is or the danger is at the time. So you pray in the spirit because you know that God knows, and therefore that perfect prayer goes out for them. And they get relief from it or whatever, you know.
Because I was born and raised in the Assemblies of God, and of course they spoke in tongues, I guess I just always had it in the back of my mind that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues because that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you.
Well, absolutely. I believe that, Kurt. At some point in time, everybody that's filled with the Spirit should speak in tongues. All I was saying was the evidence can be speaking in tongues, or it can be prophesying, or it can be words of knowledge. You know, any of the gifts of the Spirit, any of the nine gifts of the Spirit can be evident at the time of baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, you're right. You should be speaking in tongues. Listen, that's for you. That's for you, and it builds you up. It edifies you. That's good, Kurt. Yeah, Kurt, you're right. The Assemblies of God, all of the oneness churches, they believe that's the evidence of speaking in tongues. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just evidence can be a speaking in tongues, or it can be anything else. And they make sure, most of them make sure that you speak in tongues. David was in that oneness church at one time, UPC, I think. And they made sure that you spake in tongues at an early age in your walk with Christ. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and you should. And all of them should be. All the churches should be doing that. And we do it here. If somebody wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we pray for them. And generally speaking, they start speaking in tongues right away. Some don't do and some don't, you know. Some of us sometimes have a hang-up about that. And it's something that God has to work out of you. And He'll do it. And then you'll be speaking in tongues. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else want to comment on tongues or the Holy Spirit, the baptism? Let me see if I can find that in here. That's what I'm looking for right now is...
I guess I would comment that one of the things I like being able to speak in tongues with is I don't always have to be engaged with my mind. You can be driving down the road or you're not having to put your full thought into this, what you're doing. Because sometimes I'm tired. I can't sit there and pray for a long length of time. Or my mind, you know, especially in the morning, if I try to diligently pray, sometimes it's easy to get sidetracked. The mind kind of steers away a little bit. And you get glued back in again a little bit, you know. But when you're doing tongues, praying in tongues, it's so much easier. It just doesn't seem to have any kind of hindrance there. When, you know, your brain, like you said, it's not connected with what you're talking about. So I think it's a wonderful benefit the Lord gave us. You know.
Amen. It is. It's something we all ought to be doing continually. Because that's God praying through you. And that's the most perfect. Listen, tongues, praying in tongues, those prayers get answered every time. That's not a hit or miss with those. Because you know you're praying perfectly because God's doing it. The Holy Spirit is doing it through you. Okay, anybody else? You know, we're all learning stuff. as we go along this walk, this Christian walk that we've got. And I don't profess to know everything. In fact, I don't know hardly anything. And I'll tell you that. And I'm learning. One of the big things that I've learned is to just back off and listen. And if somebody's got a better revelation than I do, I'm willing to listen and humble myself and allow the truth to come out. That's what we want ultimately, is the truth to come out. And so God's looking for humility and humbleness. And, you know, I get humbled all the time around here, which is good. That's good. So I just thought I'd throw that in there and let you know that it's a lifetime of learning from each other, because you have a piece of the puzzle. I have a little piece of the puzzle. Everybody has a little piece of the puzzle. And when we all come together and we share what we know, then that puzzle starts coming into shape and we start getting a larger picture than what we had before. And it helps us. Even a new Christian, you know, he can come across a revelation in the Word of God, and we don't need to be, self-righteous to believe that they can't contribute to the body of Christ, because they can in many ways. And that's why we have to be humble all the time and be willing to listen and to learn, even from baby Christians. Sometimes that's hard for us old timers to do, is to sit and listen to some teenager or you know, young person talk about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. Nowadays, they're getting this quicker than we have in the past. I mean, we've got people here, young men and young women. I'm talking about young 20s. And early 20s and things like that, that are getting the Word and are surpassing anything that we thought possible for the time that they've been, you know, as a Christian. But God's doing a wonderful and quick work in His people, and it's just amazing to see. So don't ever think that some young kid can't teach you something, because he can. You know, God can give them a dream that'll just blow your mind, and they'll understand it. And it's just awesome to see and to watch. Or they get a word of God. They'll get a word from God, a revelation out of the Word, and say, God told me this out of His Word. And it'll just blow your mind. You say, wonder why God didn't do that to me when I was His age, you know. But that's what God's doing now. He's growing people up quicker and quicker and quicker every day. Yeah, Kurt.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay.
While this was strong on my mind, it was just going over and over and over concerning Nora. We prayed for the tumor in her intestine. I just remember the testimony that Wade just gave about the tumor on the dog, how it was gone the next day, and that really, you know, raised my faith concerning Nora.
Yeah, mine too. Because I know Nora's here. Praise God.
Hey, Michael, were you looking for the Rex Rones series of three videos?
Has that been transcribed?
I don't know. It's they've got the videos and the audio is available. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I know they were, but I didn't. I thought maybe it had been transcribed, but I don't guess it has. I know David's got a couple of short things on Holy Spirit baptism, but I can't find them now. I don't remember which Bible study they were in.
Yeah,
but it's... Go ahead.
Yeah, Rex did it January
25, 2009. Yep, I remember when he did it.
Yeah.
That was good. Okay. Anybody else want to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit or anything?
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. One of the things I appreciate so much about tongues is sometimes if I feel like I'm going through more trials than I can bear and, you know, the enemy comes at you and, you know, like God doesn't care, that type of thing, and then I know he does, and I know tongues just helps keep me more grounded in Christ because there's no way I can make up a language that I don't know. I mean, you know, and then when you pray in tongues and you say the same phrases, and, you know, sometimes I can't think of the same English word over and over these days, let alone, you know, whole phrases in a language I don't know, and it just really helps keep me grounded and keeps me just knowing that God is there and that he cares for us and that the Holy Spirit knows so much more how to pray for our needs or even the needs of others that it's just such a valuable resource the Lord has blessed us with. And I just appreciate it so much. And Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That's good. Yes. We need tongues.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Kirk.
I don't know why I'm so mouthy tonight, but...
that's okay.
Something came to me, but I didn't... Because my tongues are real short. I mean, I don't have a... You know, it's not a whole slew of language or whatever, but anyway... I was doubting that I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but I think tonight, as we're talking about all that, you know, there's been so many things that God, through the Holy Spirit, has helped me to overcome, even to my anger and so forth, you know. So it was like God was just reassuring me that, yes, I have filled you with the Holy Spirit. You know, through that you have the power to overcome what you've overcome. So I just, if that helps anybody, I just share that with you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I agree with that.
Thank you, Lord. Y'all listen to this. I was searching on the site, on UBM site, and I came across this. It says, if God is, why the pain and suffering? And this is by Anonymous. He said, a man went to a barber shop to have his hair cut and his beard trimmed. As the barber began to work, they talked about so many things and various subjects. When they eventually touched on the subject of God, the barber said, I don't believe that God exists. And the customer said, why do you say that? Well, you just have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. Tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God existed, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all of these things. The customer thought for a moment, but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. The barber finished his job, and the customer left the shop. And just after he left the barber shop, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, dirty hair and an untrimmed beard. He looked dirty and unkempt. The customer turned back, entered the barber shop again, and said to the barber, you know what? barbers do not exist. So how can you say that? Asked the surprised barber. I am here, and I am a barber. I just worked on you. No, the customer exclaimed. Barbers don't exist because if they did, there would be no people with dirty, long hair and untrimmed beards like that man outside. Ah, but barbers do exist. What happens is people do not come to me. Exactly, affirmed the customer. And that's the point. God, too, does exist. And that's the point. God, too, does exist. What happens is people don't go to him and do not look for him. And that's why there's so much pain and suffering in the world. Isn't that awesome? I wished I'd have thought of that. That is so Amen. Cool. Thank you, Lord.
I say, what's his name? Ray Comfort's got a new video out for the atheist agnostic types and challenge them on their atheist beliefs. I haven't heard it. He's got some kind of question that really gets some thinking. So I'd like to find out what it is.
Amen.
Michael.
Hi.
No, I just looked at the very beginning of the three different videos that Rex did. And at the beginning of the third one, David comes on just endorsing what Rex is going to be talking about, and then mentions that a book is coming out, Holy Spirit in us and through us, that Rex is bringing out. But I looked on the website, I couldn't find it. But maybe, I don't know, maybe it may not be on UBM's website, or maybe Rex never
well,
brought it out.
What happened is Rex got into faction, and that went down tubes for a while. So we just...
I know he left. I didn't realize he was involved in the faction.
Yeah, that's why he left. Yeah, he's a good man. I liked him. But that happens, and we're believing he's coming back. We just don't know, you know, when he's coming back.
Yeah, he was a really good teacher. Well, yep. I tell you, he had a great series there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael. If
hey,
you
buddy.
Go and if you type in baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will come up, and Rex Verone, that teaching is on there.
Is it transcribed?
Yeah.
Okay.
We listened to part of it the other night because I was looking for something to give to a guy to listen to, and hey, that's how come we looked for it.
So that teaching is transcribed on the site? By transcribed?
Wait a minute. My wife said she didn't think it was transcribed, but you can listen to it audio.
Yeah. It's the audio's still there. Actually, the video is too. If I'm not mistaken, both of them are there. But as far as transcription, I don't think it is. I couldn't find it anyway.
Okay, my wife's a computer person. I'm not.
Whoa!
She told me. I don't know what that was, but no. Anyway, she said, yeah, it wasn't transcribed, so.
Okay.
That would be a great book if they ever put that in on the UBM website. That would be a wonderful book. Is it because Rex's not there they don't want to put it up because he'd have some kind of problem with that? Or
no, no, we just hadn't done it. We got so much so much other stuff that's going on. We've got limited people editing the books, and they're backlogged right now with books. And so, you know, we just pick them. people do it as the Lord tells them to do them, you know. We're not pushing any one item, so to speak, except every now and then we do. Something comes up that we think needs to be out there, we'll go ahead and put it up ahead of the deal. I think the next book that's coming out is going to be Wolves in Sheep Clothing or something like that.
Michael, this is Terry.
Hey.
Hey. If you tell me the name of that particular one, I'll write it down because I'm one of the people that is typing things up right now. I'm currently working on something else, but just give me the name of that one more time and I'll put that in my list of things to type up.
What was it, Marlon? Holy Spirit in and through you or something like that?
No, it was just baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Do you know which heading it's under?
Let me see.
Are you talking about the 02115, the Holy Spirit with us and in us?
Yeah, that's it.
These are the numbers. It's 02115, 2116, also... 2114, so it's 4, 5, and 6.
Is that in miscellaneous, or is it at 1 hour? I think it's in miscellaneous.
I did a search, so you can get it in broadcast quality video. Well, let's see, that's...
All she wants to do is an audio, I suspect, right, Terry?
Yeah, I actually have, a little foot pedal, and I just listen to the audio and type it up as I'm listening.
Okay.
You can get it. I mean, all you have to do is get that, do a search, and then type in the 02114, and it'll come up with the MP3 and the MP4.
Okay. For some reason, I haven't had good luck with searching. But if I know if it's in miscellaneous or if it's in 1 hour,
I'm looking in miscellaneous.
Under 1 hour.
1 hour?
Oh, it is?
1 hour, yeah. 1 hour UBBS radio and TV programs, and then also, I think it's under broadcast quality video.
And is this Rex? Is it Rex speaking?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Rex's teaching. Okay. It's Rex Perone.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking here in 1 hour.
It's there. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. I'll just have that on my list.
Okay, good deal. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. 02114, 02115, and 02116. Okay.
Okay.
That was in January and February, January of 2009. And it's in miscellaneous, actually. 1 hour.
Oh, it's miscellaneous.
1 hour miscellaneous.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
good.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, anybody else?
You know, I think the biggest reason why a lot of people don't...
Whoa,
don't,
what was that?
Yeah, I see it. It's almost like somebody plugged in their mic or something. And you're getting ready to play some electric guitar there. I think the biggest reason why people don't understand the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is nobody out there in the secular or the apostate Christianity churches really understand it. They don't really have a grasp on what it is, what it means, and so they can't really teach about it. And that's why so many people are misconceived about the Holy Spirit and the baptism. They've been told they had it from a baby or, I don't know, when they got baptized, and, now you receive the Holy Spirit, maybe. I'm not sure what all these people are being told, but we know it's not the truth. I had to come to UBM to get baptized. So I'm glad I did. Anybody still there?
Yeah, I was talking, but I have this thing about turning this mic on. I just I forget to turn it on occasionally. But no more. My memories, I've got the mind of a steel trap. Praise God. Okay. Let's see what we can garner out of this.
What are you going to read from again, Michael?
was awesome. That sounded like the Russian woodpecker. Almost. I'm going to be out of Salvation Instant and Progressive. It's not, it was a book, and then we got some problems with the ISBN number. And anyway, it'll be back up here before long at Lulu. It's a good book. It's a great book, actually. Salvation Instant and Progressive. It teaches about what salvation is, and it's a walk, as most of you know. And I'm going to be talking a little bit out of Chapter 2, Strive for Sonship. And what it says, David talks about what it means to manifest salvation in your soul. Of course, everybody knows or should know that your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then Proverbs 29 and 21 says, "He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last." The Hebrews, Greeks, and Romans during biblical times all had the custom. Is there somebody out there that can't mute their...
Yeah, go ahead and mute me, Michael. I was having problems with my phone.
Oh, okay. I got you. The Hebrews, the Greeks, and the Romans during biblical times all had the custom of adult adoption. In Genesis 15 and 2, and Abram said, "O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And he that shall be possessor of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." But if they had no other heirs, then they would adopt a beloved servant of theirs. Or even when they did have an heir, if they really loved that servant of theirs, they would adopt that servant and make him a son. And it was a fairly common custom among many of the other cultures throughout the ancient world as well. Oftentimes, the Bible teaches lessons that run in parallel with the traditions of men. And Jesus always gave parables about the natural things so that people could understand the supernatural things. And in this case, the scripture is talking about the adoption of sons. And it says a person can delicately bring up his servant from a child. And that means child and servant are synonymous in how the Bible uses those words. And when the Bible says you're a child, or when it says you are a servant, the Bible means they're the same thing. And David discovered that there were three main parts to this tradition of servant being adopted as sons. First, the master would give the revelation of sonship to the servant. And he'd tell his servant that he was a son. And the scripture does that with us. Scripture tells us that we are sons. The adoption hadn't happened yet, but we've been told that we are sons, and we are to accept that by faith. And the only part that has actually been manifested when you're told you're a son is in your spirit. You have sonship in your spirit. The second part of the tradition was that the master would make it public that this servant was a son. And the Bible talks about it this way in Romans 8 and 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God." Our adoption is made public when people see Christ in us. We have to exude that Christ in us. It's made public when it's manifested in your soul. We go from spirit to soul because Christ has come in our spirit. But he wants to come in our soul. He wants to manifest himself in our thinking. And he wants to manifest himself in our actions. And that's where it's manifested in faith, until you receive that new body. Now, the third part of the tradition was the formal adoption of the servant, Romans 8 and 23. "And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, the adoption is manifested in the body, and it's when you have become the manifestation of what God's always called you to be from the beginning. And it's when you are a manifested son. Colossians 1:27 says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And here on earth, our responsibility is to walk by faith in Jesus Christ in order to see his sonship manifested in spirit and soul, but not in the body. We ain't got nothing to do with the body. The redeemed body comes later, and it's going to come to those who are faithful and bearing fruit in the area of the soul. And the manifestation of sonship in spirit is instantly accomplished when the Spirit of Christ comes to live in your spirit. The progressive manifestation of sonship in soul comes to pass as you walk in your natural body more and more like Christ walked. It's not out of your own ability that we can do this, but it's through God's ability. And he promises that he'll work this in us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. And that means to bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have to see a goal. And if you think that you have already passed that goal, then it's not going to make you strive for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, is it? So you have to see a goal, and the goal is the manifestation of Christ in you. And this is the purpose of why God's got us here. And when you take a closer look at this manifestation of sonship in our soul, you're going to find the Bible speaks of progressive salvation. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now these two verses are synonymous, because putting to death the deeds of the body, or denying yourself, denying that old man, is bearing your cross. And when you're bearing your cross, you're being led by the Spirit. And to be led by the Spirit is to manifest that sonship that God wants us to do. And it's real important that we study the Word of God, because the Word of God is the seed that brings forth Christ. And it also renews our mind so that we can walk with the Spirit, right? Romans 12:2 says, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That natural carnal mind cannot walk with the Spirit. Amos 3:3 says, shall two walk together except they have agreed? That Spirit is foolishness to the carnal mind. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. So when we come into agreement with God, then we can walk in the Spirit. And our capacity to walk hand in hand with Jesus as he walked, our capacity to walk in the Spirit, is directly related to how much of the Word we're agreeing with. And that's because if you're not agreeing with God, you're not going to listen to him, and you're not going to obey him. When these principles of the Word are involved in a situation or circumstance that you're in, you're not going to be obedient to them. And if you're disagreeing with them, how do we come to recognize? How do we come to know the voice of the Spirit? We become familiar with the Word. And that's why we've been given the Word. Many people think that the Word of the New Testament is a New Testament law, just like the Old Testament was an Old Testament law. No. We were given the New Testament in order to renew our mind so that we could walk in the Spirit. Living according to the New Testament is to walk in the Spirit, is to walk with Christ and abide in Him. The New Testament gives us familiarity with the Spirit so that we can walk with Him. How do you know what voice speaks to you unless you're familiar with the person of that voice through their own words, through their own nature and their character? When you study the Word, you begin to know the voice of the Spirit. And you can see where people go astray of Him. And you can see, too, why they go astray, because you can see errors more clearly. The more familiar you become with the Word, we need to have fellowship with God through the Word so that we can be led by the Spirit and be called sons of God. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:15, "For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear." Those people under the old covenant didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they were all in bondage to the law. John 7:39, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." When they kept the law, they had to do it by their own strength and by their own ability, but it wasn't possible, was it? James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's become guilty of all." And if we're trying to keep the law of the Old Testament, then we've made ourselves a bondservant. John 8:35, "And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever." And the Holy Spirit's job is to bring us in to that adoption. Romans 8:15 again, "For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Adoption because His job is to manifest Christ in us. Jesus said in John 16:14, He said, "He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you." And our faith is what makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to manifest Jesus in us. You must be calling, Romans 4:17, the things that are not as though they were. You got to accept it now, if it's ever going to be manifested. The Holy Spirit moves through our faith, and He brings things to pass because of our faith. But He doesn't have to do anything. If you don't have any faith, He's not going to do anything. There ain't no promises for you in this Word if you don't have faith. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith." There it is. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The Holy Spirit is to bring us to the adoption of sonship, and the adoption is the end of our faith. Not the beginning of our faith. It's the end. 1 Peter 1:9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." God manifests the adoption because of the salvation of the soul, which is when the soul bears fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. We're sons of God by faith. We are adopted by faith. Paul teaches that we're adopted sons of God by faith. And it's a wonderful thing that God reckons our faith as righteousness, because that means a baby Christian can enter into the kingdom. Otherwise, no one has not yet manifested sonship would have a hope or a chance. James 2 and 17 says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. So faith has got to be walked in verse 18 in James 2. And I by my works will show thee my faith. There's a whole bunch of folks out there who say they have faith, but it's not real faith because they're not walking in it. They're only acknowledging it in their mind that they've got faith. You can't stand still in faith, folks. Real faith moves. Real faith has action. And without action, faith is dead or it's incomplete. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. It doesn't say sons there, does it? That's because Paul is talking here about manifestation. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling all right the word of truth. We have to be careful in rightly dividing the word of truth. And since he's talking about manifestation, then we can say that all those who are walking by faith are at least children of God by manifestation. 1 John 3 and 2 again. Beloved, now are we children of God, not sons of God. As the King James Version says, it says children of God. And it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. And we need to understand that what we shall be is Christ, right? Christ in us, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. We're going to see him face to face. God's purpose in Christ is to bring about his life in us, so that manifestly we're sons of God. 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Romans 8 and 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If. There's a condition right there. If we are children, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, only if we also suffer with him. And let's go on. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. And that suffering is what happens when you're led by the Spirit, because your flesh always wants to go the opposite way, doesn't it? 1 Peter 4 and 1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Well, why is that? It's because when you suffer in the flesh, it means that you're going up against the flesh and you're walking in the Spirit. You have to suffer with Christ in order to be glorified with Christ. And in order for the Spirit to grow in you, you have to suffer the death of self, the death of that old man. Walking in the Spirit is suffering the death of self. Romans 8 and 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. That Greek word for revealing there comes from apokalopto, and it means unveiling. Creation is waiting for the unveiling or manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God are hidden to the world. And the reason they're hidden to the world is that they're not yet acting in agreement with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that the full adoption doesn't happen until we receive our new body. And it says that a little further down in the scriptures. But we also know that the manifestation of sonship in Christ was true in spirit and soul before he received a new body. Jesus did his works in this earth as a manifested son in spirit and in soul before he received his new body. That's a type and a shadow for us. We're going to do the same thing. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God in spirit and in soul, even while they're walking in their body of flesh. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And that's the truth. One Jesus or one Paul or one Peter can do much more than 10,000 carnal Christians. The creation needs the manifestation of sons so that the creation itself will be delivered. Romans 8 and 20 says, "For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God." We have the authority in Christ to bring deliverance to creation. We have that. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. What's the power of the enemy? That's the curse, isn't it? We've been given authority over the curse. Acts 10 and 38. "Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." You know, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, the works of corruption. And since creation is under the bondage of corruption because of the fall of man, now God is taking this and reversing the process. Now this time, God is going to save man and use man to bring about the deliverance of the creation. So the creation is waiting for man to be saved manifestly. All of creation is waiting for man to come into what God has provided. And can I tell you, God's doing it too? He's doing it in many people now. Many people are getting this revelation and they're walking in it. And the creation is waiting with excited anticipation for these men and women that are coming on that have gotten a revelation that they are manifested sons and daughters of God, and they have authority over all the power of the enemy. And you know, when you are obeying God, you have access to all the blessings of heaven. And when you have access to all the blessings of heaven, you're in tune with God. He's going to back you up, just like he backed Moses up, just like he backed Joseph up, just like he backed King David up. And all those Old Testament saints of God that he backed up, just like he backed up Paul in the New Testament and Peter and all those disciples then. It's just awesome when you come into that revelation of knowing who you are in Christ and the power and the love that God has placed in you for all of mankind, not just the people that you get along with, but even those that you don't get along with. He's placed a love in your heart for them, to pray for them, and to not get angry with them. So praise God that he's given us this word to teach us these things. It's an awesome revelation to know that we are manifested. We can walk in that 100% fruit that he wants us to walk in. That's what we all ought to be striving for. You know how you do that? is reading the Word of God and praying, fasting, and seeking God with all your heart, and repenting. All of those things that God has taught us at the beginning was something we all ought to be still doing, you know, as we walk along this path. I know sometimes the flesh gets in the way, and it has me too, but we rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us in that and overcome that part of it. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any comments or would like to talk about something or a question? Has anybody got any questions about this walk of salvation that it's got us on? You know, most of Christendom believes that as soon as they accepted Christ in their heart, that was it, man. I mean, they kick back now. Well, there's salvation is repent and believe, is what Jesus said. Repent and believe. So if Jesus wants us to repent and believe, what he meant was this, is that as we read the Word of God and as we come across those things that we find out we've been doing against his Word, then we repent and we start believing that God is cleaning us up. And that's how we do it, by faith. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Hi.
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say thank you for just, you know, going on and encouraging us and, you know, guiding us, you know. I mean, we know all this that you're saying, and it's so good to hear it. It's like a reminder constantly. I love to hear it. You know, I love everything you're saying. It's just like edifying and very encouraging, and I just want to say thank you for that. I really appreciate that. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you very much. All right. Anybody else? Okay, let's get on something else here right quick. Is anybody keeping up with the earthquake situation? Is there any news of that going around?
I guess I would like to make one comment before we move on. I noticed that this is based on faith, but we also know what the scriptures say, we have to go to God for that faith. So it's not, I don't want to make it feel like we're getting into works and we're trying to even accomplish our faith through things. I just know that sometimes we feel like we're faltering our faith. I have no problem praying to God, asking for more faith or more of what I need and coming to Him in weakness, because I know that's where I'm going to get my supply if I'm humble to that. So I don't know. Personally, I'm just saying I don't try to beat myself up if I'm not making the grade. There's times where you feel like you're not progressing where you should, but I think sometimes that's also God likes to show us that, well, you know, I can easily show you what it's like to be walking on your own in a second and have you feel the weakness. And then I can come upon you and show you the strength I've got to get you through all that, which is reassuring for me, because it just shows me how it's nice to have a loving God come inside and inside you and through you and do the work for you if we're willing just to wait and believe that he's going to do it. And then he gives us more faith in order to continue the walk. Because I know to do this prior to all of that, all this is really pretty high understanding for somebody that doesn't have that kind of experience yet in the Lord. And so we're doing things that the church doesn't know how to do. We're understanding things the church doesn't understand. So we're in a very, very good situation. I'm saying, not saying we've arrived, but at least we have an understanding of where the path is and where we should be walking.
You know, David, what I found out is the people who understand the sovereignty of God, they get it. Most of the time, they get it. It's that the people don't understand that God is sovereign. They think that God and the devil's up there butting heads, you know, and at some point in time, God's just going to beat him, you know. Well, of course, we all know that God's up there, and the devil ain't nothing but a tool in his toolbox. That's all he is. And the devil can't turn around without asking God, you know, as far as his children are concerned. So, yeah, this is the walk that we're all on. We have some understanding that they don't have, but like David said, it's nothing to get excited about. We just need to apply it and walk in it. And when we do find out things that we've been doing wrong or believing wrong, then we just repent. You know, God's not sitting up there with a ball bat ready to knock us out. He's a loving God, a real loving God. And the reason that God placed us here on earth is so that he'd have someone to commune with, somebody to walk with and talk with. And some do and most don't. But he wants to be able to, for eternity, to commune with us and be around us. That's why God made us. It's just to be around us. You know? God's love and his grace is so much bigger and wider than we think. We always want to... God's sitting up there ready to condemn us. He's ready to knock us out, you know, and break us off and throw us into that eternity of hell. But no, he gives us every opportunity to come to him. You know, we stumble, we just get back up, forget about it. He said he forgets it as long as you ask for forgiveness for it. He says, I don't ever come back to my mind anymore. If you sin, you know, he don't remember it. He says, I forget it. That's far from me as east is to the west. And so we get back up and we go ahead and do what we know to do. And we're counted as righteous, he says. And that's the loving God that we have. He's a loving God. He's not a vindictive God. And here's the deal. There's people out there that know to do good and they don't do it. And that's when the curse comes on them real big. But it's those that are trying, and they're struggling, and their flesh is crying out to them, you know, and wanting to live. And, of course, we're all the time with a ball bat ourselves trying to keep that flesh down. But we don't need to do it that way. We just need to ask God to help us out here. Lord, help me out to get rid of this thing that's been bothering me all these many years, you know. And this rest in the knowledge that he's doing it. And the next thing you know, you're overcoming. You are overcoming that thing that was bothering you all those many years. And you realize it. And then you go on to the next trial that comes up. Because that trial's behind you. And it won't be coming around again. The only time it comes around again and again and again and again and again is when you don't ask God to help you with it, you know. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And the thing to do is to get in your closet and just pray. Get close to God. Get nigh unto him, he says. He wants to be our friend. He don't want to be our slave boss. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be our father is what he wants to be. He wants to be our father. And what does a father do when a child stumbles? He picks him back up, brushes him off, hugs him, said, and tells him, "That's okay. That's all right. I done forgot that. Let's go on, brother." That's the way God is. Okay, anybody else want to talk about God's love?
Can I share something real quick?
Sure.
It was, I came Esau gave me when it opened up today, Leviticus 7:11. And but I backed up a little bit just to get an understanding more of what was going on. And it, you know, it's going through some of the law a little bit. But it was goes. I'll start from Leviticus 7:1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall be sprinkled around about the altar. And he shall offer it, and all the fat thereof, the rump, the fat, the covering, the inwards, the two kidneys, the fat there is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul, that is above the liver, with the kidneys, he shall take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire, and the unto the Lord is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof, and shall be eaten in a holy place, it is most holy. Leviticus 7:7 says, and the sin offering is, and so is a trespass offering, there is one law for them. The priest must make atonement therewithin, shall he have it. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered, and the meat of the offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan, and in the pan shall the priest, shall that be that priest offer it. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry, shall all the sons of Aaron have one as much as the other. And this is the law of the sacrifice, this is 7:11, of the peace offering, which shall offer unto the Lord. And he shall offer it a thanksgiving, and it shall offer all the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and the cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour fried. And you're thinking, what is all of that nonsense I just read? Well, if we, there's three things that stood out when the Lord brought this peace offering up to me, because that really grabbed my attention, and I wanted to see what was being said about this. And he's talking, of course, about, you know, he goes back to Leviticus 7:7, he goes into the sin offering, and he talks about then the trespass offering, and then he goes into the peace offering. And what is this all about? Well, of course, this is all the law, but it's also pointing to Jesus Christ, of course. And we've got the unleavened cakes mingled with oil. That's, you know, the anointed word of God. That's Jesus and the mingled with oil, the Holy Spirit in our life. But we have this sin offering, trespass offering, and peace offering happening here. If we look at what's going on, and I dig a little deeper, what the trespass offering is, let's go to the sin offering. Sin offering is, what is it? It's a penalty for some kind of a sacrifice made for some kind of offense you did, and there was a punishment would be for sin, of course, but it's an offering to appease this thing that you missed the mark. The trespass offering is the guilt of your having guilt over the sin. And you just, that's, again, you could sin back then, and I didn't realize you sinned, so you still had a sin offering. Now there's a trespass offering because you realized you sinned, and the guilt's there. So now you have this offering for that. So you have a sin offering, you have a guilt, trespass offering. We're starting to cover the bases of all this might be in our flesh, might be in a way. Then finally he gets down to the peace offering. Well, what's so good about that? What's great about that? It's his reassurance. It's you're okay. It's you be safe in the mind. You made peace. The restitution was made. We've got all that in Christ, but we got those steps too. We got the sin offering. We got the guilt offering. If you still had that guilt going on at one time for something, that's been taken care of. And we get the peace of the Lord. We get to be in his presence. We get that peace offering. But we just have to come to him humbly and receive those things. We put that sacrifice on the altar, our flesh, our humility. We come to him and we praise him and thank him for what he's done. And we've got all this built into our covenant with the Lord. And that's what's the great thing about looking at these covenants of the Old Testament, how they wrap into the new. We've got all that and more with the Holy Spirit, because he goes back and talks more. Now, with unleavened cakes mingled with oil, we've got that oil. We've got the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to share that since we were talking a little bit about, you know, getting right with the Lord and sin and stuff.
Amen. Why don't you close us out with prayer, David?
Okay. Dear Father, thank you so much. We love you. We praise you. We can't say enough good things about you. We would love to bless you, but you know it's you that blesses us. Lord, we will always come to you humbly and graciously and lovingly and acknowledge that all things are from you, all things come from you, and we love to serve you and have you be part of our lives and increase our knowledge and understanding in Christ. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless this body of believers we have here, to renew us and strengthen us, to keep us on the narrow path, to guide us in Christ, to make us become all that we can in Jesus Christ tonight. Father, we also ask for those that aren't with us, that have maybe fallen away, for ones that may have been factious, that at one time had a great, great fellowship with us. Father, we pray for those souls too. We want them all to come back into the kingdom. We want all to have peace in your name. We want to have fellowship with you, Jesus, and be one body, one set of believers. We ask for those that haven't met and come to those qualifications yet into the kingdom. Lord, we're praying for those, and we're trying to bring those around like Wade is. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and not be deceived by our eyes and ears, but eyes and ears, and let us bring on the bad report. But let us have the eyes and ears of you, Jesus, so we can walk humbly in your kingdom, bring about your kingdom words, be used mightily in your ways in order to bring your kingdom in this world and bring others into the kingdom with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Good night, saints. God bless you.